answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news, FBI Director Kash Patel says his agency prevented what he's calling a potential terrorist attack planned for the Halloween holiday weekend in Michigan. Let's go live now to our Bryn Gingras. Bryn, we've learned that multiple people have been arrested. What else do we know here?
Yeah, you know, very thin on the information, Pam. I got to be honest with you. I got to tell you, so many reporters at CNN are making phone calls trying to connect the dots exactly what is going on here, what the FBI Director Kash Patel is talking about in that post, but they have not released any more information. What we know is that he said that there was a thwarted attack that was plotted to happen over the Halloween weekend, and as a result, multiple people have been arrested. The big questions here are, was how far along was this plot really in its developmental process? Like, was it actually going to happen this weekend? Where are the potential targets? And of course, who might be involved? Are we talking about domestic terrorism? Are we talking about inspiration from overseas terrorists?
That is a report from, as you heard, CNN about Kash Patel unveiling today that federal agents have arrested multiple suspects in the state of Michigan, allegedly plotting a violent attack over the Halloween weekend. And again, information is being kept very close right now. They're probably still looking maybe to round up more, maybe to get the charges reset on some others. It will probably be over the weekend that more details will come out. We don't know exactly what the plan was, what the plot was, what the intent was, other than to scare the American public and possibly maim and kill. We have a vigilant FBI, and they're looking for anything and everything that they see is out of place. Good. That's exactly what we need. And mainly because we have so many illegal, unvetted in our nation. And we know they came, in many cases, from terrorist nations. And we don't know what kind of plots they might be doing in separate cells or as a group. Thank you, Joe Biden, for putting us in this precarious situation. Welcome to Larry Connors USA, hour number one. Here we are, Halloween. How do you like my costume? I look pretty good, huh? This is it. This is my Halloween costume. I wear it every Halloween. And you can watch the program, by the way, right now. You can go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And if you miss any part of the video or audio, you can always pull that up later at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And we do come charging out like a bull when the gate opens. We have a lot of information, and I promise you by the time we finish, you're going to know more than what you do right now, because Larry Connors USA provides you not only news, analysis, and opinion, but education. Again, you will have more knowledge than you do right now. We make sure of it. In our next hour, Anderson Cooper, Cottonmouth Cooper from CNN, has an interview with a man who would be mayor of New York City. The election is next Tuesday, Mondani. And Mondani is making and has made suggestions that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, is deeply entrenched in the New York City Police Department and going after people using IDF forces and tactics. We'll get into that in more detail in our next hour. I will tell you this, next Tuesday is the election. First guest up Wednesday morning will be former New York Congressman Jean Lebouthier. He's a never-Trumper, Reaganite, but he does not like what Mondami plans for New York City. And, of course, Curtis Sliwa is still in the race, but the numbers don't show any way for him to win. What we have seen with the numbers recently, Mondami is slipping. Right now, Cuomo is in within 10 points. Is it because New Yorkers are actually waking up before they put this idiot in charge of their city? That's going to be coming up in more detail in the next hour. Later this hour, my interview with the man they say killed Halloween. It's an atrocious story. The interview I did with him when I left, I thought, this guy has to be put away. You'll hear that before we wrap up this hour. Our new feature every 6 o'clock hour at the end of the program, the story behind the story. And this time, the man who killed Halloween. Now back to the raid that was taking place in Michigan. Nikesh Patel says, we have these federal agents. We're looking at various folks who were planning an attack of some type, which they're being very guarded about over this weekend, trying to make it a really spooky Halloween for Americans. Most of those culprits rounded up around the Dearborn, Michigan area.
Dearborn officials in Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, and Inkster both have confirmed, and the FBI in Detroit field office as well, that activity was taking place, investigation by FBI officials happening in their cities. They put out a public alert saying, listen, people can relax, there is no need for alarm, that those investigations were happening in cities by the FBI. Yeah, so we know that they are happening in those two towns, active investigations by the FBI. But again, not much more detail about that. Of course, this is Halloween, October 31st. Again, I've been saying it harkens for me just being in New York, that incident that happened back in 2017, that, attack, terrorist inspired attack that happened along the West Side Highway in New York, killing 8 people. So this is a day, as you know, Pam, so many law enforcement on high alert. And of course, this sounds like a potential terrorist attack was thwarted.
And of course, what day is not a day of high alert in this nation right now with so many illegal, unvetted immigrants into this country that Joe Biden let in through his open border policy? The details will be coming out later, but supposedly there's no additional alarm at this point. Supposedly. I like to think they've got their hand completely on it. But again, you can't be sure of it. And of course, always with Halloween. Now, bring this up because parents, you just cannot be as casual as you might have been in the past. This used to be a big deal back in the 80s, even 90s, about candy being tampered with and then children biting into it, cutting their lips or taking down some poison. Now there's an effort to be aware that some might be presented as candy when it's really a drug possibly containing fentanyl.
Listen to this. This is not good. Santa Fe, Texas Police Department has issued a public safety warning ahead of Halloween after sewing pins, needles, if you will, were found inside candy distributed during the city's homecoming parade. A local father whose 18-year-old daughter found a pin with a candy wrapper within a candy wrapper described the pins as being, quote, placed under the wrapper's flap, making it appear like an intentional act. Officers believed it might have been an isolated case, but shortly after, they were getting similar reports from others. The National Vice President of the Fraternal Order of Police, Joe Gamaldi, joins me now. Joe,
he basically went on to say, right now, we do not know if that is the full extent. But for parents, be aware. Go with your children, first of all. And secondly, check every piece of candy they bring into the house. And when you hear my Behind the Story episode later, it's going to make sure you check everything they bring in. In the meantime, federal, state, county, local police carrying out a major drug bust in Philadelphia.
Tonight, dozens have been indicted in the alleged drug ring, and authorities say the alleged drug enterprise on Weymouth Street was ran like a business.
The FBI is carrying out this raid in Kensington.
Tonight, dozens have been indicted in an alleged drug ring stretching from Kensington to Puerto Rico.
The FBI and DEA have just delivered one of the largest drug trafficking crackdowns in Philadelphia's history. In a single coordinated morning, federal agents swept through the Kensington neighborhood and dismantled what prosecutors call the Weymouth Street Drug Trafficking Organization, a violent network that controlled open-air drug corners for nearly 10 years. 33 defendants were indicted on federal charges, marking the biggest narcotics conspiracy case filed in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania this century. The operation stunned even veteran investigators because of how deep the group had rooted itself inside a single neighborhood.
And that's the key. These groups operate within some neighborhoods and they end up terrorizing the neighborhood. And if anybody sees something, hears something, they don't even want to be seen talking to police or possibly labeled as not a snitch, but just someone saying, hey, I think you guys need to take a closer look at this. They have terrorized various neighborhoods. This raid into Philadelphia is an example of one, but there are obviously more.
Officials say this takedown is not just about arrests. It's about restoring control to a part of the city that had been living under criminal rule.
Today is a culmination of a deliberate, patient, and highly coordinated investigation into a violent criminal enterprise operating in and around Weymouth Street in Kensington.
The Weymouth DTO, they explained, ran like a corporation with strict schedules, armed security, and coded communication. Its members sold fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and crack on street corners 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every transaction was tracked, every block taxed, and every rival met with violence. When the indictment was unsealed, agents revealed that the network's profits reached millions of dollars, fueled by addiction and protected by intimidation.
Intimidation. No one talks. This is just one corner, one area of Philadelphia. You multiply this across our nation, and you multiply it by the fact of how many single men came in under the Biden open border policy. Again, I stress to you, unvetted. We don't know who they are, why they are coming, and what their plans are. Are they just coming to take part in various drug deals and so forth, or a more sinister plot? White House spokesman Stephen Miller.
This is a Democrat caused calamity, heartbreaking calamity. The first crime against Americans was the Biden administration's decision to voluntarily free and release from custody an illegal alien within hours of crossing the southern border. Again, let's go back to the unending nightmare that we lived through for 4 years under Biden, where single adult men in groups, in caravans, or traveling alone would show up at the border, present themselves, announce, I'm here illegally, I've invaded your country, I demand entry. And Biden would order the Border Patrol at taxpayer expense to ferry them on to the destination of their choice, in this case, California. That happened in 2022.
And that was just one instance. And remember, some of them were coming in with this app that they could have on their phone where they could already pre-register to come into our country. So when they were stopped, they said, oh, I've got this app that Joe Biden provided that says I can come in. I can be a citizen in your country. It was a lie then. It's a lie now. But we're having to deal with the after effects. And unfortunately, some families have paid the highest price because they have had loved ones killed by these illegals that have come in, and more, unfortunately, will happen. With the government shutdown, trick-or-treat, going into our 31st day, and yet Pennsylvania Senator Fetterman makes it very clear, my party, the Democrats, we bear the responsibility.
Imagine being a parent with a couple kids and how you're going to fill their refrigerator and pack their lunches and get on with their lives when the things that they've depended on now is gone because we can't even agree to just open things up. For if a Democrat, you know, we're not allowed to just open this up. I mean, then our party has bigger problems than I thought we might have already. It's like, that's not controversial. Pay everybody. And you have our workers here borrowed over a third of $1 billion to pay their own bills. Like, it's a failure. And like I said to all of the viewers, I'm apologizing that we can't even get our shit together and just open up our government.
He's apologizing on behalf of his fellow Democrats. The Washington Post editorial board stated Congress should fund the government for a full year, otherwise families could go hungry as key programs such as food stamps will expire. Well, they expire tomorrow. So the Post editorial board wrote the Democrat shutdown has continued for so long because there's been little discernible impact on most Americans. But the food stamps, known as SNAP, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, it does expire this weekend. That means we're going to have many Americans not get their SNAP card reloaded. They cannot go in and use it. There's nothing on it. It's like you have a credit card, but you go in, they say, well, there's no money to draw on. It's not going to work. Food banks, churches, other groups are doing their best to help out. But if you're looking for a boogeyman in all this, it is the Democrats, because there have been numerous votes to try to make everything move forward. Democrats say Republicans need to change their bill. They have gone direct down through this clean resolution, and what the Democrats want to do is add more money in for illegals, more money for transsexual surgery, more money for public broadcasting. That has nothing to do with the price of milk. President Trump is now calling on Senate Republicans to initiate the nuclear option. Get rid of the filibuster, which would allow them to shut down, rather to end the government shutdown with a simple majority. He wrote on True Social, it is time for the Republicans to play their Trump card and go for what is called the nuclear option. Get rid of the filibuster and do it now. You got Democrat senators during the Biden administration had called for an end of the filibuster, but then President Biden and some senators called for altering the filibuster. They wanted to protect their voting rights and abortion access. See, they're willing to do it when it fits their needs. This would fit the needs of all Americans. Make it happen. The auto pen scandal is not going away, and my next guest is going to tell you where it is and where it is going. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years, Ed Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor. I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. 4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number 7, Tennessee. Whiskey got me drinking in heaven and
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before. She's the Federalist Elections Chief Correspondent, Brianna Lyman, and stating basically that the left cannot escape the Biden auto pen. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm looking at a piece from the National Review that underscores what we just said you have quoted, and they're saying the Biden auto pen presidency is enraging, and at times it veers into comedy. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's the most mild way to put it. And what we've discovered this week, you know, the House is obviously looking into investigations. The Department of Justice is looking into whether or not these auto pen pardons and other orders are legitimate. And I think what's going to be most interesting about this is an opportunity for real accountability. Because like I said earlier this week, the left is unable to concede that, yes, President Joe Biden was cognitively impaired, but then in the same breath deny the possibility that someone in his cabinet or unelected official took that pen and used it without Biden's knowledge. Someone who is cognitively impaired and mentally incapacitated does not always have the ability to give consent. So it's very plausible to have that. So it'll be very hard for the left to try and say, yes, Biden was impaired, but no way could that auto pen have been misused.
And there were hundreds of pardons granted with that auto pen. Hundreds. Brianna? All right, we'll have to reestablish. Brianna, we got you there? Let's try to get her back. We'll reestablish it. But there were hundreds, and in fact, I'm reading a piece by the New York Times, something she alluded to, an opinion piece in the New York Times. It's not the auto pen, it's what we don't know about Biden's last days, which obviously gets into the fact that no one knew who and what he was doing. Brianna, we got you back on air now.
You sure do.
Oh, I'm sorry we lost you there. You were making a point exactly to the we don't know how many of these pardons he ever saw or even gave consent to. They were just quickly signed and shoved out the door.
Yeah, and it was the pardon for his son, Hunter Biden. That seems to be the only one that looks like Joe Biden personally inked that, which, if that is the case, it means that President Biden clearly was not to some capacity aware of the other pardons because he didn't personally ink the other ones, right? He did it for his son because he had the wherewithal to know, I don't want this being challenged. But they didn't seem to consider that for the other ones, which is why this makes it all the more, reason for skepticism and suspicious.
Well, to that extent, I mean, he could direct someone to sign these off, but there's no chain of evidence that that happened.
Exactly. And that's the key there, right? That there is no evidence that that's what happened. It's not like there's an email chain of the president signing off saying, okay, you know, I've looked through the list of pardons. I don't have time to sign them, whatever the case may be. It is very plausible that he did not know about it. And then when you couple that with all the recent information that we've gotten from Jake Tapper, Alex Thompson's book, the New York Times, I think the Wall Street Journal, they've all had a cascading amount of articles about Biden's cognitive decline after he left the White House. So when you take that in conjunction with the pardons, you start to really say, there's a really good chance that Joe Biden did not know about all of these pardons. And again, you know, some of these pardons are for, you know, lower level offenders, which plausible. A president, you know, obviously gives out, you know, pardons to those kinds of people. But there were a ton of pardons and there were questionable pardons. You know, the January 6th committee members were pardoned, right? Yep. Things like that. I'm curious if Biden knew about it.
And Dr. Fake, he got a pardon. Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to the New York Times statement I read while we were reconnecting with you. They have an opinion piece, basically says, it is not the auto pen, it's what we don't know about Biden's last days in office.
Yeah, and I wish the New York Times, because look, they may not have written that op-ed. I don't know if it was the editorial board, but they certainly published that op-ed. And I wish the editors at the New York Times had that appetite for accountability that they do now 10 months later for 4 years when they had the opportunity to answer that question, not just on his last days, but every day that we did not see that man. Right. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre, for example, she tells us all the time, or she told us that she talked to the president every day.
Right.
There's not a lot of photo evidence that she ever actually was physically with him, which I think is kind of odd. You know, we see Caroline Levin with the president almost every single day. I don't think I've ever really seen more than a handful of photos of Karine Jean-Pierre or anyone in the administration with the president. Where was he for 4 years?
Yeah, and I would ask you if she was not talking to Jill Biden. And that's the other key. Who was running the White House at this point?
Right. And that very question is a question that we have to get answered. And it's a question the New York Times, if they're so concerned about what he was doing in his last day, make it a bigger question. Figure out what he was doing for 4 years and who was running the White House. Right. That's called actually being a journalist. But unfortunately, as you and I both know, left-wing media is not interested in journalism. They're interested in running defense and propaganda for the Democratic Party. So I do expect that we won't get all the answers we should. Because conservative media, unfortunately, it's just not big enough to do all of the work that needs to be done. We need some other people to take inquiry into this.
But Brianna, they won a Pulitzer Prize for all of their great coverage.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you how worthless the Pulitzer Prize is up there with the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Pam Bondi the other day said that we are in a 100-page report that she released earlier this week, saying we are leaning closer into looking what's happening with the auto pen, and particularly Biden and those around him. And some sources are saying a lot of the focus now is on Delaware and Washington, D.C. Well, I can understand D.C. What's the Delaware connection?
Yeah, I would assume the Delaware connection is all the time that President Biden spent at his Delaware beach home. I remember there was some kind of controversy with the visitor logs to his beach home. So there's definitely some, you know, there's definitely questions to be had of who was visiting the president's beach home while he was there. Were pardons being signed there? Who was going in and out? Were they, negotiating for pardons on behalf of someone? Like, those are the questions I would probably want to know outside of Delaware or inside of Delaware.
Well, the other thing is, as you pointed out, the left cannot escape this story. They want it to go away. They want to look away. They'll try to deflect, distract, but it's still right there in front of them.
Right. And the reason that they came out and decided to agree that they knew Biden was cognitively impaired these, you know, past few months is because they thought that that would basically absolve them of any guilt in the cover-up, right? By finally admitting that, you know, what the conservatives saw for 4 years is accurate, they thought they could skate by. But now that conservatives are saying, no, we're not just stopping there. Accountability isn't just admitting. Accountability is also holding people accountable for what they did.
Right.
The left-wing media can't escape that.
Well, even CNN dared state, and I'm reading directly from them, there's a growing movement by Republicans to void some of the pardons issued by Biden. The first question is, can they?
I think that is the bedeviling question of the week. I don't know if they can, but I would like to hope that if they find enough evidence that President Biden did not personally sign them, that there is some kind of legal recourse.
And again, I'm looking at a piece in the Constitution. He shall have power, speaking about the president, to grant reprieve and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. Now, that's in the Congress, I mean, in the Constitution. But when it says he shall have the power, I don't see anywhere where it says he can delegate, and especially this auto pen device, where you turn it on, slip anything under it.
Right. And you know, look, presidents always use auto pens, but usually they use it for like signatures, like if they're signing hats, maybe they're signing, you know, campaign memorabilia. That's what an auto pen is typically used for. But when the Constitution is explicit about who has the authority to grant a pardon and it is only to the president, I think it would imply that the president must be cognitively aware of what he is signing. An auto pen isn't. So does Biden know the auto pen was used? You know, those are the questions that need to be asked.
Do you think there's going to be any way that they can, before the next general election, much less the primary, I know they can't between then, but before the next general election, they can find some way to solidify their stand and acknowledge, yeah, maybe it was not done exactly right, but let's move on. There's nothing to see here.
I think it really depends. It depends on how the left-wing propaganda press is willing to cover it. You know, the more coverage that is given to Republicans' investigation, the Department of Justice investigation, the more, you know, light is the best disinfectant. That'll bring awareness. But if they kind of sweep it under the rug, people just aren't going to care, and it's not going to land as well in 2026.
Which means it's going to be on your shoulders and mine and the rest of us to make sure it stays front and center, right?
Absolutely. And that's why it's our job as conservative media to do the work that regular journalists should do, but have no longer wanted to do.
Yeah. And they sold out. Brianna Lyman, I want to thank you very much. She's a Federalist Elections correspondent. And I appreciate your time. Have a blessed weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
You bet. Well, of course, this is Halloween, which brings me to the story behind the story for today. I did an interview with a man that they say killed Halloween. How did he do that? And where? What were the circumstances? And what was my reaction after interviewing him? The story behind the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him 636-532-1922 or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month. You need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The father was a deacon at a Second Baptist church, singing in the choir, running a local bus program. And on this date, 1974, he took his two children trick-or-treating in a Pasadena, Texas neighborhood. That's just outside Houston. Now, the story has been changed over the years, and depending on which source you go to, you can find some conflicting information, but I'm going to tell it to you the way originally it was unveiled as I was working on that story. He had a neighbor go with him and his kids to go trick-or-treating around the neighborhood. This deacon of the Baptist Church in Pasadena, Dearborn actually was the name of the actual community. He had his children, 10 years of age, boy and a girl, and then another man and his child walked with them. They were simply going around trick-or-treating. The parents would stand out on the sidewalk while the kids went to the door, trick-or-treat, and pick up whatever goodies they could. At one point, the father of two of the children decided, you know, let me go see if that guy has anything. His porch light was off. Normally, that's an indication. I don't want any trick-or-treaters. And a lot of people looked at him. He's a single man. The kids didn't like him. He didn't like kids, supposedly. Get off my yard type guy. And the other father walked with his children and the other children on down the street to another house. The father came back with pixie sticks, those long, thin straws which often had sugar in them. There were five of them. He gave one to the child of the father they were trick-or-treating with, gave one to each of his children, gave one to another child that came along, and still another child. When they got home, he told his kids, hey, I know you want to eat some of your candy. We can do that. Let me open up one of these pixie sticks and make you some Kool-Aid with it. And he did do that. His son took the first sip and said, it doesn't taste right. He said, well, let me add more sugar. And 10-year-old Timothy still complained it tastes bitter, but the Kool-Aid and the added sugar helped a little bit. So he ended up drinking it. And later that night, he said his stomach hurt. He went into the bathroom, vomiting, convulsing. His other child had also had a sip, but not that much. They rushed her to the hospital, too. And, of course, the concern was they got tainted candy. And the focus immediately went to the Pixie Sticks. Well, now there's another father with his child. They also have one. So it was concerned that that child might be poisoned. But he did not use any of the Pixie Stick for any of the treats he wanted that night. There was another kid that had one, and he didn't use it either. And when they realized that the Pixie Sticks might be part of the issue here, there was one they could not locate, and the parent was woken in the middle of the night and scared to death when they were told, if your child got one of those Pixie Sticks, we got to check on him. He said he was up in his bedroom asleep. He was hoping he was asleep. He went running up the stairway, and sure enough, his child was asleep, had the Pixie Stick with him, but couldn't open up the staples to get any of the candy that was inside. The entire neighborhood was outraged enough to maybe want to hang the man that had the door closed and just the light off. The father, Ronald Clark O'Brien, who went to that house, described, I couldn't really see the man. He just stuck his arm out and handed me these Pixie Sticks. Had really hairy arms. It turned out as police began to investigate the house where he went and got that, the guy was an air traffic controller at Hobby Airport, and more than 200 could verify he was on duty that night. He was not even in his home. I did an interview with the father and the mother 2 days after their child had died and the other one was coming out of the hospital. We did it in their living room. And I'm asking various questions and I'm watching how the father reacts each time. I'm not clairvoyant, but I have had enough stories like this where I can watch someone and I can pick up things that maybe others might dismiss. Good detectives wouldn't, but I couldn't say for anything for sure. I do know that when I finished that interview, I got in the car with the photographer and I said, I think he's lying. I think he's lying. He knows exactly what happened to his child. In the meantime, I'm calling the prime investigator on the unit. And I said, are you guys having any issue with a story as told by Ronald Clark O'Brien? He said, off the record? I said, off the record. He said, yeah, we got some big issues. And we're looking into some money at play as well. Ronald Clark O'Brien was an optician in one part of Houston. Kind of his store, but it was failing. He was losing money. As they dug deeper into it, they found that he had about $100,000, equivalent to $640,000 now, in debt. And over the 10 years preceding the crime, he'd held 21 different jobs. And he was about to be fired from his latest one. Car going to be repossessed, defaulted on several bank loans. This all taking place, again, as I said, on that Halloween. But 10 years before that, or I take it back, earlier that year in 74, in January of 74, he took out $10,000 insurance policies on his children. That would amount to about $63,000 based on current numbers. And then 1 month before Timothy's death, despite the objections of his life insurance agency, he picked out another $20,000 policy on each child. So he had equivalent of about $100,000 637,000 based on today's numbers. One of the investigators was quoted as saying, "I got an adding machine, or I found an adding machine tape during our investigation. It had all the bills written out next to the numbers on the adding machine tape, and it came out to almost the exact amount of what he was going to collect." All the ire and the anger against the old man that lived in the neighborhood. And he was under threat several times because police could not really explain what was going on in the investigation. They could tell the people that he had nothing to do with it. But the story they were getting from the father of the dead child was that, "No, I got that pixie stick from that house." What was the issue with a pixie stick? Filled with cyanide. During the trial, a chemist who was acquainted with the father testified that in the summer of 73, the summer before that October 31, 1974, he had asked him about cyanide. How much would you need to have to be fatal? Then asked about, "How can I purchase cyanide?" And he said he continued to have an unusual interest in it. The defense was doing everything it could, saying, you know, there's just some people that go mad at Thanksgiving. They lace candy with razor blades or something. It could be anybody. But the evidence was in the pixie sticks. It was not sugar. Not entirely, had doses of cyanide. The father arrested, guilty of capital murder, 4 counts of attempted murder, his own daughter and the other children that were taking part in that walk about the neighborhood. June 3rd, 1975. Not quite a year from the Halloween incident. A jury took 46 minutes to find him guilty. And I know in my mind at that time I thought, good. Good, because I was right in that interview. There was something really off and suspect about the guy. But there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So Ronald Clark O'Brien was called the Candy Man and also the man who killed Halloween, taking pixie sticks and filling them with cyanide, encouraging his son to make sure he ate some of that night, Halloween night. Wash it down with Kool-Aid, more sugar. He didn't press his daughter that much, but he did his son. And thank goodness none of the other kids open up theirs. He was, as I said, convicted of poisoning his own son on a capital murder charge, which is a death penalty case. The rest of the story here is when it came to his execution. I had since left the Houston area and working in TV in St. Louis. But I happened to be home visiting relatives on this particular date. He was to be executed in Huntsville, Texas. He originally was set to be executed August 8, 1980. They got a petition to delay the execution. A second set for May 25, 1982. That got postponed. A third execution date, October 31, 1982, the 8th anniversary of the crime. The judge that scheduled that said, I will personally drive O'Brien to the death chamber. It's going to be the first time an inmate was executed by lethal injection instead of old Sparky. The Supreme Court delayed the date again. But then came the date, March 31, 1984. Shortly after midnight, he got the lethal injection that he had avoided. And it happened to fall on a date that I was back in Texas and watching the news coverage. And all of this stuff was washing over me again, all the details laid out and what I knew at the time who had done the story in the interview. O'Brien's last words, what is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs, yet doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would forgive all who have taken part in any way in my death. This is a man who purchased not one, but two life insurance policies on his children with the intent to kill one or both and get himself out of debt and start a life all over, anew. His wife and daughter, of course, she divorced him and then they moved away to have some privacy. And the old man that was suspected of causing that in the beginning could go about living his life normally with the neighbors. The man who killed Halloween. Monday, another story behind the story. A firestorm that threatened all of downtown St. Louis. That's Monday. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine. The spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details, plus gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation, window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure, no hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.